I can't stop thinking about how one moment, just an ordinary day at school, can completely flip your life upside down. For James Clear, that moment came with a baseball bat. You've read his story, right?
Yeah. It's both terrifying and surreal. Imagine, he's just finishing up his sophomore year, and suddenly, a stray swing leaves him with a shattered nose, broken eye sockets, and a traumatic brain injury. He barely even remembers the impact, that's how intense it was.
And the way he describes those first confused moments, answering questions with the wrong year, not remembering his mom's name, that really highlights how fragile we are, doesn't it?
Exactly. You can tell he was in shock, but more than that, his body was just shutting down. I mean, he had seizures, couldn't breathe, and even needed to be put into a coma. It's the stuff you'd never imagine surviving, let alone bouncing back from.
That night in the hospital must have been agonizing for his family. His mom riding with him in the helicopter. His dad breaking down the news to his siblings. Just heavy stuff.
I felt that too. There's this sense of déjà vu, because his family had already faced heartbreak with his sister's leukemia years before. Suddenly, they're back in the same hospital, but this time for James. You can imagine the dread and exhaustion.
It's wild how life throws those curveballs. But what really strikes me is the role his parents played holding on through the uncertainty, sleeping on hospital mattresses, meeting the same priest who'd supported them years ago.
That really is something. It's like a full circle moment, but not the kind anyone wants. Those nights, just waiting and hoping his mom later said it was one of the worst of her life. You don't forget that kind of fear.
You know, most stories would end at survival, but for James, that was just the beginning. The months of recovery, double vision, not being able to drive or even walk straight must have been brutal.
That's what makes his journey kind of remarkable. He describes feeling like his whole life was on pause, wrestling with depression and overwhelm. Physical therapy was literally about learning to walk again. The setbacks just kept coming.
And returning to baseball, something he loved, only to get cut from the varsity team that had to sting. I remember him saying he sat in his car and cried, flipping through the radio for a song that would make it okay.
Yeah. Talk about a punch to the gut after everything he'd already been through. Still, he kept going. Instead of giving up, he used those setbacks as motivation. That's not easy.
What he did next is what really caught my attention. College was like a fresh start for him, right?
Absolutely. He didn't try to overhaul his life in one shot. Instead, he focused on getting his habits in order, small stuff like going to bed early, keeping his dorm tidy, and sticking to routines. Those seem simple, but they slowly rebuilt his confidence.
And it worked. He started lifting weights, earned straight A's, and made progress both in the classroom and on the baseball field. The little things really did add up, even when the big wins weren't there yet.
That's what's so interesting. He shows that tiny, almost invisible changes can actually fuel personal growth. Most of us underestimate that.
Building on that, it's kind of amazing how those small habits eventually translated into big results. By his senior year, he was excelling at sports and academics.
It didn't happen overnight. 6 years after his injury, he was named the top male athlete at Denison and even made the ESPN Academic All-America team. What's wild is, it was all these incremental improvements, not one huge breakthrough.
Right. And even though he never went pro, he feels like he fulfilled his potential. That's such a refreshing perspective. Sometimes it's about the journey and compounding those small gains.
Exactly. He emphasizes that the real turning point was realizing it's the quality of your habits, not just bursts of motivation, that shapes your future.
What I love is that he didn't just stop with his own transformation. He started sharing his experiments and learning publicly, first with articles, then with an email list, and finally this book.
Yeah, it started small, right? Just writing 2 articles a week. But that little writing habit snowballed. He grew a massive following, reached hundreds of thousands of people, and became known as the go-to expert on habits even before he felt like one.
It goes to show consistency beats intensity. He wasn't an overnight sensation, but he was consistent, and that made all the difference.
And eventually, his work reached Fortune 500 companies, pro sports teams, and millions of readers. Not by aiming for huge milestones at first, but by focusing on steady progress.
Let's dig into one of the book's core ideas, the power of tiny atomic habits. It really flips the script on what most of us believe about change.
Definitely. People tend to overestimate the impact of one big moment and totally miss how small daily improvements compound over time. That 1% better every day idea is honestly mind-blowing. By the end of the year, you're 37 times better.
And the flip side? If you get 1% worse every day, you end up near zero. It's such a simple math lesson, but it's so easy to miss in real life.
What really sticks with me is the analogy of an airplane changing its route by just a few degrees. At first, you barely notice, but over time, you end up somewhere completely different.
That actually reminds me of his ice cube metaphor. You can raise the temperature 1 degree at a time and nothing. Until suddenly, at 32 degrees, the ice melts a breakthrough that seems instant, but really isn't.
It's such a great way to show how change usually works a lot of effort with no visible progress, what he calls the valley of disappointment. People give up because they don't see results fast enough, but the progress is just hidden, building up.
That's so true. You don't see the benefits of good habits or the costs of bad ones right away. It's only after enough time passes that the compound effect becomes obvious.
Which is why he says patience is essential. The real magic happens when you cross that threshold, even though it might take months or years to get there.
Funny you say that. Because Clear really challenges the whole idea of goal setting. He argues that systems, not goals, are what really move the needle.
I agree in part, but it's a major shift for most of us. Goals are about outcomes, but systems are all about the processes that actually produce those outcomes, like how you train, study, or manage your time every day.
He makes a great point. Winners and losers have the same goals. It's not the goal itself that makes the difference, but the process you put in place to get there.
Exactly. Goals can even get in the way, like when you hit a milestone and then slack off. But a solid system keeps you improving, no matter what.
What's even more fascinating is how he links habits to identity. Not just what you do, but who you believe you are.
Yeah. He breaks it down. Like layers, outcomes, processes, and then identity at the core. The deepest, most lasting changes happen when your habits shift your beliefs about yourself. Like, instead of, I'm trying to quit smoking, you say, I'm not a smoker.
He even gives examples, like someone who stops biting their nails because they started seeing themselves as someone who takes pride in their appearance. The act of caring for their nails reshaped their identity.
And every action you take is like casting a vote for the person you want to become. It's a loop. Habits shape identity, and identity shapes habits. That's powerful stuff.
Let's talk about the practical side. Clear's four-step model of habits, he calls them the four laws of behavior change. Can you break them down?
For sure. The steps are cue, craving, response, and reward. To build a good habit, you want to make the cue obvious, the craving attractive, the response easy, and the reward satisfying. It's almost like a checklist for behavior change.
I love how he turns these into levers you can actually use. If you want to break a bad habit, just flip the laws. Instead of making it obvious, make it invisible, and so on.
It's practical and science-backed, but also pretty intuitive when you think about it. The habit loop is always running in the background. The trick is to tweak it so it works for you, not against you.
Before any change, though, you've got to notice your habits. I really like the story about the paramedic who could just sense something was wrong with her father-in-law, almost like habit-based intuition.
Yeah, it shows our brains are constantly picking up cues, even when we're not aware. But that's a double-edged sword. If we don't pay attention, we end up running on autopilot, not questioning our actions.
That's where strategies like the habit scorecard or pointing and calling come in. Naming your habits out loud or tracking them helps bring them into conscious awareness.
Exactly. Once you can see your own patterns, you can actually start to redesign them. It all starts with awareness, otherwise you're just stuck in old routines by default.